Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Episode of Tender Loving Care ? With your host myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down two shows from the TLC network, the name of the network that I believe for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. When I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that are on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select two shows to cover for the next episode by spinning the Wheel of Shame, which has all 113 shows that we will be studying. Hi, Kate!
Hello!
How are you doing, Kitty Kate?
Better now that I'm talking with you.
We're talking about such great shows. Or, yes. Well, it's not shows, is it? Because once again, TLC took us, slapped us in the face, and told us, think again, think again. What happened, Katie Kate?
We found out that we could not research into one of the shows by devouring every moment because it's scrubbed from the internet.
Bad scrubbed. I think there is a running theme here with TLC shows. There, you know, I say in the intro we're doing 113 shows and it's constantly being added to because they're just producing more shit every day. But they're also scrubbing a lot of shows. And I think there are so many things that come out of these people's backgrounds that are like, ooh, we need to get this off the internet.
Yikes.
Last week we had the Seven Little Johnsons. We had Filth Fighter. Now, look, I can't blame it on TSC. Kate and I can't be asked to check when, after we've spun the Wheel of Shame, whether it's actually available to watch or not. So, kind of our fault. We're gonna get better at that. We will check as soon as we spin the wheel and we get our results from now on. But Filth Fighter, I looked it up and it was a one-off special and it was only filmed last year. It was like 43 minutes, but nowhere on Amazon, nowhere. I don't know what happened.
It's new. And it was wiped.
It's new. Yeah, it was last year.
Interesting. And did it say what it was about?
It's, I mean, as you can imagine, this is woman, yeah, just going in to these houses where people are literally living in, well, filth. And then she goes and just cleans it. So I'm not sad that we missed it, but don't know that she was probably, there was something came out about her past, I bet. And TLC were like, they were like, even for us, we can't do it. We can't. So what we're going to do, we're going to do a little bit, we're going to do something a little bit different this week because Kate and I noticed late in the game that Filth Fighters was not available. We're going to talk about the first show as usual, which was the Seven Little Johnstons. And then we'll do our rating and everything. And then we're just going to talk about a couple of other things, which are definitely in the TLC realm. They're a little bit of news. A little bit more info for you. So we're just going to be discussing one show and then we're going to dive into that. So it's going to be a little bit different. We'll obviously have the spinning of the wheel of shame afterwards. But I think that's about it. I think we're ready to dive in. Okay,
with the synopsis. Let's get into it.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
All right. So the first and only show that we'll be talking about today is called The Seven Little Johnstons. And this is how TLC describes the show. The Johnstons, all seven of Forsyth, Georgia, are the subjects of this reality documentary series. The Brood, TLC says, are the world's largest known family of...
Oh, you got it. You okay. Got it, Kate.
Achondroplasia.
Achondroplasia.
Achondroplasia. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
It's not easy. It's not easy. Achondroplasia.
Achondroplasia dwarfs.
There you go.
Achondroplasia is a genetic disorder of bone growth, but the series demonstrates that size only matters in the amount of love the Johnstons provide. Trent, a grounds supervisor at a local college, and housewife Amber have two biological children, Jonah and Elizabeth, while Anna, Alex, and Emma were adopted from Russia, Korea, and China, respectively. Episodes deal with everything from high-drama soccer tryouts to a disastrous attempt at a birds and bees discussion, all framed by the family tackling a massive renovation of their 6,000 square foot circa 1891 home.
Beautifully read. That was a lot. That was a lot.
I think it's a kind of becoming a running thing that I will always mess up the pronunciation of one word.
No, I think that description is painful and hot. I mean, just that term, high drama soccer tryouts. I mean, really, you don't need to put, if you're trying to draw an audience in, you don't need to put that in because it's just, okay, so I did make, well, first of all, I think Kate and I need to make this clear. There were 10 seasons of this show, okay? 10 seasons, and they each have what, Kate, like 8 episodes? 10 episodes?
Anywhere ranging in from 6 to 10 episodes per season, yes.
And they're all 43 minutes. So, you know, look, I'm not going to say Kate and I don't work hard. We work hard watching these shows, but there are times when there are episodes about high drama soccer tryouts that we just have to skip over. So, I mean, we did our best. We watched as much as we possibly could. And when I say watched, it's on in the background as we're driving, eating, living, just going about our days.
Right.
That's what we have to. It started airing in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to just note that I was calling the Johnsons the entire time. It's Johnstons. So I thought it was Johnsons.
So did I. I thought it was Johnsons. Yeah.
It's like this is a small little error, but yeah, I realized I was just calling them Johnsons all the way through. As the description said, they all have achondroplasia dwarfism. So you've got, let's set the scene, okay?
Yeah.
We've got Matt Damon. I mean, we have Trent, who is the father. This dude is Matt Damon. I watched the first season. I was like, oh, this dude looks exactly like Matt Damon, just like shrunk down.
That is so true. I could not place it.
Yes,
the whole time I was
while.
Like, he looks like someone. Matt Damon.
Yes,
that's right.
It's Matt Damon. And then as I was scrambling to watch the last episode of the most recent season before we got on here, the wife said it to him in it. She's like, we always thought he looked like Matt Damon. I was like, yes, he does.
Perfect.
I mean, this dude really looks like Matt Damon. So there's Matt Damon, his wife, Amber, and then they have 5 kids. So we've got the biological children, Elizabeth and Jonah, with 13 and 15 when this started. Yeah.
Yeah, so the boy is the oldest, right? He's 15. Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's Elizabeth. And then there's Anna.
Anna.
Anna. You know what? Your name's Anna. But anyway, Anna. Oh, God. If you were in England, I just want to make a note here. If you were in England, and you went up to someone and said, hi, my name's Anna. They're just going, no, it's not. It's Anna. Anyway, what would you like to drink? It's Anna.
I remember, I was telling myself over and over, I'm like, make sure you say Anna, not Anna. Anna.
Nope, it's Anna. She was adopted from Russia. You've got Emma, adopted from China. Alex, adopted from South Korea. And then mm-hmm. they have a gorgeous big chocolate lab named Jessie. So that's kind of the setup of the people in it. Now, of it, you'd think there's been 11 seasons, so much happened.
Not a lot. Not really.
Not really. 10 episodes per season, 42 minutes in length. And pretty much nothing happened. Some kids grew up.
They age. They graduate from high school. The three oldest children purchase houses.
Can we talk about? It was kind of unclear whether it was purchasing or renting. But in the last episode, you see, I know we're skipping forward, but as we said, not a lot really happens. But you see these the oldest three move out. Mm-hmm. And there's one boy that's going around, Jonah, is going around and he's looking at these apartment buildings. And there is one that is like two bedroom with a balcony, with a sunroom, like all of this stuff. And they were like, it is $1,700. And I wanted to say $1,700 in Los Angeles will probably get you a garden shed if you're lucky. And it's going to be in Reseda. I mean,
no on-site laundry, no parking, no dishwasher, no garbage disposal.
And just no walls. You have to create your own walls. It's just, I know it's like a lot of people are going to be listening to this from, I can say, all over the world, because we do have listeners in Australia, in Germany, England. Hello, hello, hello. But there are people that also listen, you know, all over the country. And I get it. LA is ridiculously expensive, as mm-hmm. is London, as is New York, as all these big cities. But just when I see stuff like this and I'm like, $1,700 in rent for all of that. There was a lot of reflection I actually did on this show, Kate, because
are you going to move to rural Georgia? Cuz that's the trade-off, babe.
I'm going to say that. Well, you know, I'm going to be near them, and I'm going to be near Angela from A 90 Day Fiancé.
Is that a plus?
If you need cigarettes, have been down a sweaty cleavage for a long time, then yeah, it is. Absolutely it is. Michael! So here's what I'm going to say, that this made me reflect quite a lot, because these kids were filmed from, like, the youngest was 9, and then you see him having his 16th birthday party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if I'd had a film crew following me around from 9 until 16, how much stuff would have been filmed that I would never, ever want to be shown, you know, it's those years where you're so incredibly awkward, you hate everything, or you're an emotional wreck. And I watched this, and all of them, apart from Anna, which we will talk about, but have this completely stable, innocent life. And it was like this reflection to me of, and I promise I'm not going to get too deep here, but like at 15, I was at the Purple Turtle in Reading, shout out to the Purple Turtle in Reading, drinking vodka and Cokes. And I'm thinking, these kids are like, you know, Purple Turtle was the place, Anyone listening from Reading will know the turtle. Okay. But we didn't call it the Purple Turtle. You just called it the turtle. But I wanted to give it the full
turtle
title.
Turtle time.
Shout out to Ramona Singer.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
We were down the turtle, as we'd say. Let's go down the turtle. Or Pavlov's dog. I can give you a whole tour of Reading if you want right now. And everywhere they'll let you in if you don't have ID. I could give you this tour, but I'm not going to. But that's the kind of shit I was doing then. And I was so... I guess it was struck by how innocent these kids are. in this like beautiful way. But is this realistic? I mean, I guess I'm still so fascinated with America. I've been here a while, but I'm still fascinated that these places exist where you have this. It just seems like a cozy life. It seems like they have, you know, you can buy a house for $120,000, mm-hmm. like a 6-bedroom house for $120,000. You can have a ton of land. You can have, you know, rolling hills in your back garden, and, you know, pizza nights on Saturday night by the, and being in the pool, and like that's as much as they get up to. And look, I'm not saying these places don't have horrendous meth issues, because I'm sure they do, because everywhere in America does now. But there are these pockets that we saw on the Johnstons that I just went, your whole childhood was just, you're such good kids.
They really are. I mean, I think they're a pretty religious family. So that seems to have a part, maybe. But also the dad would swear sometimes. Like, they weren't completely...
No.
Straight edge, you know, you could tell the dad would be like, oh shit, or whatever, and they'd bleep it out. But yeah, I mean, 15, 16, I was a nightmare on wheels. I was like yelling at my parents, staying out past curfew, trying cigarettes, drinking way too much vodka, puking the vodka up on my bathroom floor.
Natural, isn't it? And then I look at these people and I'm like, oh, I wonder how I honestly got into this hole of, God, where would I be now? Would I be hosting a podcast about TLC shows if perhaps I'd lived a life like Elizabeth? And I'm just, all of this, it was like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Like, I just was sat.
Should have had more wholesome nights in the backyard, in the back of a pickup truck under the stars, watching a slideshow of you and your boyfriend's relationship.
Oh yeah, no 16-year-old boyfriend in Reading was going to do that. I'll tell you that for nothing. Shout out to Reading, Berkshire in England, where I went to school. Thank you. So, I mean, there was that kind of, I really was looking at it all. And the reason we kind of paused on Anna is she is the second eldest. And she was adopted, as we said, from Russia. And I feel like Matt Damon and his wife, like, put all these labels on these kids, like, straight away in the first season. And look, I know what TLC does. But you have Anna as this, they're just like, oh, she doesn't know how to cook. And she's going to be the one that will be doing this. And she's always in trouble. And she can't go to the dance because she gets in with the wrong crowds. And then her sister that's like a year younger than her, perfect. Like, absolutely mm-hmm. perfect. And she's mm-hmm. like the, she's the biological daughter as well. And I think there has got to be some type of undercurrent. Maybe these people are all just wonderful people and I'm trying to make something dark about it. But, you know, this girl, Anna, I feel like they were just super harsh on her, always expecting her to fuck up. Like, they just weren't kind with her.
I think that she kind of likes that role, though. She's like, she's the joker of the family. She's the funny one. She's like, I'm the, you know, the squirrely one. She's like cracking jokes and, you know, but I get what you mean. It was like kind of heavy handed, like, oh, Anna can't cook.
She can't do this. And she's going to be the one that's we couldn't trust her with that. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to get to her. Like, that's there's gonna be something there.
Well, you saw it get to her a little bit because they are telling her that they can't really tell her because I think she's 20 years old when this happens or something, but remember, they're right. Like, you really shouldn't go buy a house or get a house or move out mm-hmm. because you only have a part-time job.
Yes.
And
yes,
I'm assuming all these kids have saved thousands of dollars from the show.
That's another thing as well. Their Coogan account, you know, is like probably overfilling, like overspilling with like what they got from this show. Absolutely.
Right. So she gets really mad at her mom because they don't believe in her to go live on her own when she's 20 or however old. So you see it a little like hinted at, but
there is. And there's this whole thing that they don't show. But of course, I have a theory about it. In the first season, they're young. These kids are young. And Anna and Elizabeth are going to the first school dance. So they go and get their dresses. And then they're like, we just got a call from the principal. And we went into school and Anna was spray painted her name on the school. Like Bart from The Simpsons. I was like, what did she write? L. Anna or something? I was like, what? So she comes home and she's banned. She cannot go to the school dance. By the way, this goes on for about 43 minutes. They're going over this. And yeah. So she's like watching as her sister gets dressed up to go to this dance. And they also, by the way, take all her clothes away. They said, yeah. We're leaving you with one pair of pants, 5 t-shirts, and that's it. Just to pack up all her clothes.
No makeup, no nothing frilly. Yeah, she's...
I don't really get that as much. But they certainly aren't easy parents, but like, here's a big bee in my bonnet that I have about parents. And of course, once again, we can talk as experts about parenting because neither of us have kids,
right?
So Kate and I, you know, we're experts,
we know.
When parents make their children call them sir and ma'am,
that's a southern thing,
is it?
Yeah,
I really dislike that. I think it's authoritarian. It's like military. I really hate it. It makes me... I think it's horrible. I don't think it's respect. I think it's fear. I don't like it at all. Really,
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, that's pretty much only in the South you hear that still.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like that at all. It makes me really... I think it's really gross.
It's weird.
Look, I'm not expecting the kids to be like, hey, Matt Damon, like, can I get a car or whatever? But just don't... Like, don't... I don't like sir.
Well, and then
yes,
they,
sir.
Daddy,
yes,
sir. It's either sir or it's daddy.
Now, daddy, I feel a little bit better with because it's, I think, like, if you come from like an Italian family or like a big Irish or Scottish Catholic family that I come from, daddy mm-hmm. is very affectionate. I really mm-hmm. like that, actually. I think that's much more respectful than, and they're going, sir. Yes, sir, mm-hmm. to their dad. Don't say yes, sir, to your dad. He's not a... Oh, it's horrible. Don't like it. Anyway.
Oh, and remember when Jonah... So they're moving... they're loading up the stuff for Elizabeth's art show into the truck. And Jonah is getting kind of annoyed with his parents and he shushes his mom. And it is like, oh, hell no. The disrespect from Jonah just because he was like, mom, shh.
See, that's what I mean. It's yeah. like if cameras had followed. I don't know. I
that was me on a good day when I was his age.
Oh, that was fantastic. But that's why, maybe because Anna is just seen as this like rebel child because she just doesn't put up with that much shit, and I think she's just has more of a personality that's naturally going to be quite. I don't know. She's stubborn. She's whatever, but it just seems normal. But they're yeah. like, oh, she's the bad kid. And then you have this kid, Alex, who I'm sure everybody fell in love with. He was only 9. He was adopted from South Korea. And he was only 9 when this started. And he's a funny guy.
I love Alex.
I know. Everyone loves him. And I don't want to be condescending and say he's so cute because he's a little person, but I'm saying it because he's a 9-year-old boy.
Yeah.
He's super cute. And but they also label him. Did you see? I don't know how he doesn't have an eating disorder because all through the first season, they're just like, oh, he's always eating. Look at him asking for food again. Oh, asking for snacks. Alex, he's always eating. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he's always eating. He loves ice cream. He's always taking naps or farting. There was a lot of fart jokes, by the way. So because many fart poop jokes.
I know. It's just like... Really, is that where we're at?
They're moving Anna into her house, and they all start freaking out, and they're like, "Oh, Elizabeth blew up the bathroom," and they're all just—it's like this big scene about the fact that Elizabeth took a giant shit in the bathroom.
Why don't you just shit on camera now? Why don't you just pull down your pants and shit on camera? Because if it's that hilarious, let's add it in. But it's, oh, God. But no, Alex, I didn't. I just wrote, in my notes, I've got Alex-food in capital letters. I think it was kind of dark the way they were constantly like, oh, he's eating. Look, he's asking about food. Look, it's food again. It's, I don't think that bodes well for when you get older at issues with food, but that's just me.
Yeah, that was his characteristic. That was his character. Him. Yeah,
exactly. And Jonah, I just wrote soccer. I don't know what else to write about him. He was like quiet.
He was the most teenagerish to me because he was kind of surly and, you know,
and he shushed his mother. Don't forget, he shushed
and he shushed his mother.
Jesus, so bad. And then they go to, and we're by the way, we're going back and forth here throughout all of these seasons because it's just a bit tricky, really, to go play by play, and also horrendously boring to go play by play.
Yes,
but there is a scene where they, or episode where they all go to a little people convention. Now they go there. They didn't actually film in it, though, did they? Maybe they didn't get permission. Am I wrong?
Yeah, they probably couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't get permission. So anyway, they talk about the little people convention, and of course, then it's like, well, one of our children really disappointed us. And I'm thinking, okay, let's guess who this is. And it's Anna. They said, we had two rules. You don't leave the hotel and you don't go into somebody else's room. Guess what Anna was doing? Anna
snorting
was,
lines off of...
She was snorting lines, chasing a D, and she was drinking the vodka. Anna was gone. So they never say what she did, of course, because she was obviously drinking or something, I'm sure, underage, and you can't have that on TLC. I mean, you can have someone pull down their pants and shit on TV, apparently, but you can't have someone drinking vodka.
Right. Well, also, did you catch the fact that in one of the later seasons, they're like, oh, so Anna had to switch schools, and now she's going to a private school, and she... They gloss over it really quickly.
I didn't get that.
I wrote down, I'm like, what happened at the old school?
Oh, shit. These were so many missed opportunities. What happened to the little people convention? What happened at the school?
Yeah.
Oh,
so I think she probably gets a little naughtier than they're letting on. Yeah.
Good, good, good. But they can't have that come out because they may lose their TLC slot. So, I mean, she's also in constant, I think, competition with that sister Elizabeth, who's just like perfect. Like, she terrifies me. Everything has to be perfect. She's just a lot. So you see them grow, and then can we talk about how horny Mini, Matt Damon, and Amber are all the time?
Yeah, lots of sexy time talk. They're very so, yeah,
we were like an episode in the first season. And it was edited so strangely, like you're chopping from here and there, and we're like, oh, we're going to go in. I'm going to go and show Alex how to use a power tool in the garage, and they go in. And then it just cuts to Amber going, yeah, you know, I really like 50 Shades of Grey. And so sometimes during the day, I'll just text Mini Matt Damon little snippets of what goes on in where I'm reading 50 Shades of Grey. And it gets it's like a lot. I was like, that took a turn. And then you see him texting back. And he's like, oh, I'm going to come up to the bedroom. And then she's writing back, oh, are you going to do to me what he did? I'm like, I'm sorry. Did I change channels?
I missed that one. I missed that part.
It was good. And then you just see Alex, who's like 9 or 10 years old, going, oh, that's gross what you're writing on your phone. And then Matt Damon's like, oh, that's another thing about being a little person. People can read over your shoulder. And I'm like, can we get off the 50 Shades of Grey? So then he's like, Alex, I have to go see what your mother wants. The cameras, of course, follow him. And I'm like, I'm not ready for this. And then they go into the bedroom, and it's just like, you see him shut the door, and it's like, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And then she's just like, yeah, I love that 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. That's what was so annoying to me, was the dad was so sexual throughout the whole, all
very,
the seasons.
Very
but then
sexual.
he chastises his daughters for wanting to even kiss someone or hold hands.
He
has the birds and the bees talk with them. It is so awkward. so awkward.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah, I mean, it is, all of this is, once again, not apparent, but this calling it the birds and the bees and, oh, it's gonna be an awkward conversation. You need to tell your children not to get pregnant, how sex works, what a penis is, what a vagina is, and how all of this happens. And they're just like, oh, I don't know, it's gonna be awkward. That stupid trope of like the dad needs to speak to the boys and the mom needs to speak. It's like, Jesus, stop.
I hate it. It's like, and you know he didn't tell Jonah not to dance with girls at the dance. It's just because they're girls, and he's saying, oh, keep a balloon's distance between you and the guy, or, you know, just actually don't even dance with the guys. And then he's so, and I know a lot of guy, like dads do this, but that doesn't mean I like it. So he is moving the mattress into Elizabeth's house when she moves out. Yep. And Elizabeth's boyfriend is helping him. And he goes, oh, look, it's a one person mattress. Yeah, just a mattress for one person. And the boyfriend's like,
She's like, by the way, she's like 21. She's like 21 at this point. Mm-hmm. It's this horrible stereotype that some men think they need to live up to, of being coy about talking about sex because we've got to make them all pure and stay pure, and that's the way we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gross and outdated and stupid and really insulting as well. Really insulting to your intelligence to watch it.
I completely agree. Those were my least favorite scenes.
I don't like it at all. Let me see what else I had here. I just got a lot about how horny he is. And they were, this 50 Shades of Grey texts were called hot mama texts. And he's like, I'm sorry, I have to go. It might be in the middle of the day, or it might be something, but it was a lot. It was a lot for me.
Yeah. Let's just treat our daughters as intelligent beings.
Exactly.
Well, should we take a break?
I think this is a good time. I need to get a little palate cleanser from all of that sex talk and bullshit. So yeah, let's take a break. Sounds good. We'll be back. Hello, it's Pauline here, and I am jumping into the middle of the convo very quickly to first of all thank you all for listening and supporting us on our podcast journey so far. And to let you know, we have a new segment we're preparing for ongoing poddy episodes. We have a call to action to anyone listening that can become one of our agents in the field. In future episodes, we will be including stories and tales sent in by you, our dear listeners, to give us the inside scoop. If you or anyone you know of has been on a TLC show, worked on a TLC show, has been a long-suffering PA on a TLC show, or has just any kind of insight and knowledge of what goes on behind the scenes, we want to hear from you. All submissions will be kept completely anonymous. Just email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. You're amazing, and back to the show. All right, so what else do we have to say about the Johnstons is what I'm thinking. Oh, but remember when the gun fell off the top of the fridge? Anyone remember that?
Oh,
did you see that?
Didn't see that one.
Okay. So they, by the way, we didn't even set up this whole thing. When we see them, they have moved, as it says in the kind of synopsis, they moved into this completely run down, but beautiful, like large old house they had to completely renovate. And nothing was working, and they moved this entire family in there. So you see them kind of doing all this work, tons and tons of work on this house, from flooring to plumbing to everything. And that's where we start this entire show. They end up selling it only like halfway through. They were like, there's too much to do, so we're just going to buy another house. So they just let that go and then bought another house or sold it. But when there's scenes of them like redoing the kitchen, I don't know how they did all this by themselves. They're like moving fridges, they're moving dishwashers, they're doing it anyway. They have this fridge on some kind of pulley or wheelie thing, and it's moving, and you just see something fall off the top of the fridge and land on the floor, and they're like, oh, that's the gun.
Oh.
And I just went, oh, America. But no, it was
yeah, I mean, can't say I'm shocked.
what it, I was like, huh? It was, admittedly, it was like some kind of BB gun or something like that. But it looked like a fucking air, like a rifle. And I was like, whoa, okay. And they were like, who put that up there? Anyway, moving on, let's get rid... Okay. All right. Sure.
Did you see the episode where they're moving? So, yeah, like Pauline said, there is a ton of home renovations that they do pretty much all by themselves. Because that's the other theme of this show, is that they're very thrifty. Mm-hmm. And that's the characteristic that the mom has, is that she hates spending money.
Yep.
Like, she doesn't even go get her hair done. She doesn't want any extravagant gifts. She's, you know, we're simple folks. That's it.
Right.
So, anyways, they're moving this big bookshelf or some piece of furniture. And the wall behind it is completely covered in black mold.
Oh,
and you just hear the crew be like, the crew member is like, that's really bad.
Dude, I'm out. I am out of Forsyth, Georgia.
You can just see the crew like backing out.
God. I know they hinted it. I didn't see that scene, but they hinted at it later. Yeah. And they had to, and then they were like, oh, let's Google how to get rid of black mold. And I'm like, maybe you should kind of get a professional for this.
And then the wood is rotting and all this, there's leaks and everything. And I was like, did they not get this house inspected? And then 5 seconds later, he goes, oh, I feel so stupid because I should have caught all this stuff when I did the inspection. I was like, dude.
All right. So they end up, you know, getting this newer house and they live there and they have a massive pool. And all you can think of is, oh, that TLC money's coming in.
Yeah.
That always happens with these people. It happens in all the 90 Day Fiancés. You see them in this modest home and then they're suddenly they're able to buy like $1 million home. And you're going, well, in, I guess in this area, like a
$300,000.
Sorry. Okay, $600,000 home. And yeah, and they're suddenly able to buy this and you're like, yeah, your jobs didn't change, TLC, the checks came in,
they got that sweet cameo money.
Oh, the you know they've got to do cameo. So I mean, basically we're just taking through their lives, we're taking through all of this. You see them grow up, you see them all the graduation stuff, but the episodes are just mind-numbing. And for this to be renewed 10 times, this was another thing. As I was sat contemplating the foils of my youth, my follies of my youth, I should say, my foils, sorry, I am drinking mezcal, the follies of my youth, I also started to just think about who is watching this, you know. And it's a question that constantly pops up when we're doing this podcast, because we watch this out of dedication to you, our listeners,
curiosity,
research, you know, we're doing it for this. But people that have followed this family growing up, I just can't imagine dedicating 43 minutes each week to go, I really really want to know what happened with horny mini Matt Damon.
What's the deal with Amber's mole on her back?
Yeah, I know that went on for, I just,
how is the daughter's art show going to pan out?
Can you imagine filming this? Can you imagine being on production and filming this? Like, just, what are we doing today? Okay, so we're just going to follow them around. We're going to film this. And then, no, you know what it is? It's actually the editors. The editors are the people that are the true heroes of reality TV, as we know from Bravo. Like, the Bravo, the Housewives editors should be winning Oscars, Emmys, everything for their work. But TLC editors,
I mean, we're watching the cut down version. These people had to watch hundreds of hours for each episode, probably.
I just don't, it's mind-numbing. I mean, it really is. And somebody may say, yeah, Pauline, you love the Real Housewives. Yes, I do. But I am, and that may be my, you know what, I'm just gonna stop, it's not mind-numbing, it's unbelievable. And you all need to watch Housewives because we learn a lot from the Housewives. But I do not, I just don't get this, just watching them doing the same, it's the same thing for 10 seasons, dude.
It's a enough. Nice family living their lives.
That's it.
Going out for ice cream, fixing up their house.
And it's not even like, it's not like you're getting, like, if they had explored Anna, maybe she ended up in, like, juvie. You know, maybe we had got some drama or something.
But right.
There was nothing. And they're still going on, by the way. They're still filming.
Oh, yeah. And they really bang these seasons out quick. They released, like, 2 or 3 seasons last year.
That's what I was actually trying to work out. I was like, oh my god, this has gone on for 10 years. But it hasn't, because it started in 2015, and there's 10 seasons, and they're on season 11 already. Well, if you are an avid listener of this, please let us know what you get out of it, because it was hard. I mean, I think we should... I have nothing else to say about the show, do you?
No, I mean, it's, like I said, nice family. If you want something to fall asleep to that's, like, just calming ASMR house talk.
I guess so.
I don't know. Yeah.
If we're going to go to the rate, Kate, do you want to... We'll go to our rating now.
Yeah.
Because we do have some other stuff to dive into. So do you want to, just for new listeners, if you want to discuss our rating system for each show?
Absolutely. Okay, so each time we go over a show, when we're done discussing it, we rate it on a scale of 0 to 600 pounds of learning in tribute to one of the most popular shows on TLC, My 600 Pound Life. Mm-hmm. That gives us the chance to get really specific about our ratings, and we also like to explain why we gave that rating.
Exactly. So go ahead, Kate. You can go first. What, from 0 to 600, what would you give this show?
88.
Yeah.
88 pounds of learning.
I think that's fair. I think... maybe 112 for me, because it did make me contemplate all of the mistakes I've made in my life. So I'll give it 112. But I'll tell you, once again, TLC to me, I mean, admittedly, I was watching this while I was washing the dishes and stuff, but maybe I missed it. But was there any exploration really into living a life as a little person and a lot of the challenges that come up? Obviously, we do not want this family, just because, I mean, they are little people, but that doesn't define their personality, doesn't define who they are and how they live in this world. But it is, they got this show not because they're a interesting, you know, family that's really kind of exceptional. They got it because we wanted an insight into a family that's adopted children, and they deliberately adopted little people. And I just felt like that was never explored. None of that was explored for us to learn anything.
Not that much. They would say things throughout, you know, when Jonah's looking for a home, his dad explains to us, he's like, it's not that I have a problem with apartments. I just think apartments aren't as well suited for little people. You know, so like you'd get comments here and there, but mostly it was just typical boring family stuff. And I think if they were not little people, the show would have been canceled after the first episode.
Exactly. And I would like to have seen more about their, you know, how these children were existing going through high school and going through school compared to maybe their parents, and how times have changed and attitudes have changed. There was one scene, actually, let me add this. There was one scene. They went to a theme park and these kids on a ride saw the whole family and started screaming the M word. That is very, very offensive to little people. And the dad handled it so beautifully. He goes, you know what, keep the cameras rolling. By the way, this was the most exciting part of the entire 11 seasons. They're like, keep the camera rolling. The kids came off and they were screaming it. They were saying the M word like over and over and over at them. And they stood their ground. These kids came out and he said, hi. And he put his hand out. He's like, my name is...
Matt Damon.
My name is Trent. And it's not the M word. You can't use that. It's very offensive to us. Some of the kids were just brats and ran off. But then the mother came over. And at first she was like, oh, you're crazy. Like, whatever. And he's like, no. I'm not crazy. I'm really trying to, you know, have a learning experience here. Because that is a deeply, deeply offensive word for us. And so she kind of acquiesced a little bit and was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. So that was actually a really nice, educational, fantastic scene. That was the best scene out of the whole series, I think, because you saw how hard it must be when that occurs and how mm-hmm. well it was handled by the dad.
Right. Yeah. So it's mentioned throughout. It's not like they never talk about it, but yeah, it's not the main thing.
I would have wanted more. What can I say, Kate? I wanted more. So that's it for Seven Little Johnstons. What Kate and I kind of decided to do, because we were too late in the game to pick another show, because this is behind the scenes of what happened. Kate and I, very, 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 very busy, very, very important people in our own heads. So we were like going across the weekend a lot of time. I mean, Kate, obviously you have your other podcast, Mostly Bravo. Subscribe, listen to it right now. It's amazing. It covers everything Bravo and the Bravo world. Kate has to listen and watch a lot of Bravo news. Mm-hmm. So then she's doing that as well as this. So it's a lot of stuff to take on.
Right. And I also don't like to watch the shows too far or like too early before we record, because I'll forget stuff. I like it fresh in my mind.
Oh, I just leave it because I procrastinate. So I just leave it.
Well, there's that as well. It's like a two-part thing. It's like what I tell myself and then
got it. Yeah. No. So what Kate and I do though is we always have hashtag save it for the poddy. Like, we do not discuss the shows, but there will be guaranteed a panicked text. Oh shit, there's 15 seasons of this. What are we gonna do? Or by the way, this show doesn't even exist anymore. It's gone. So that's kind of what happened this week with Filth Fighter. We couldn't find it. It was late in the game. And we can't spin the wheel when we literally have 2 days before we're going to record, in case we get in case we get a DOS or a Stace or a big show.
Right.
You know, or can you imagine if you've got 90 Day Fiancé with 2 days to watch it?
Well, that's not.
I can't. No.
I mean, I'm pretty caught up, but yeah, that's
true.
<not.
laughs> True. Okay. So we can't do that. So instead, what we wanted to do is we wanted to just talk about some things in the TLC universe.
Yes.
First of all, I want to talk about Bitch Sesh. Now, Bitch Sesh is, it's kind of hard to say when you have a little bit of an English lisp. Bitch Sesh, there we go. Bitch Sesh is a podcast that it's been around for a while now, and I'm sure anyone listening to this is familiar with the genius of it. It's Casey Rose Wilson from SNL and Bridesmaids, just a fabulous writer, comedian, actress, and then Danielle Schneider, who's the same who writes for Always Sunny in Philadelphia and tons of things, massive Housewives fans, and they started a podcast years and years ago called Bitch Sesh. So they just go over everything to do with the Real Housewives, and Kate and I loved it. Obviously, Kate and I, we've said before, fell in love over the Housewives. So we've been to one of the live shows they did here in LA, which was just unbelievable, the level of dedication to their craft. And they actually are busy women. They have children. They have seriously monstrous careers.
Right.
They are busy, but they dedicate so much time to the Housewives and diving into them, critiquing them, exploring them. They're just outstanding, outstanding women who, Kate, if I may speak for both of us, we love, adore, and cherish.
Yes. Good. I agree.
Good. So they had done an episode, which I just want everyone to kind of go back and listen to, that was about, it kind of crossed into the TLC world, because they do appreciate the TLC world. And we've, you know, like Kate here, she does Mostly Bravo, and it's all about Bravo world, and it does cross over. If you love trash TV on Bravo, you're probably going to know TLC and vice versa. So I just want to draw all of your attention to go back to Bitch Sesh. Follow it anyway, because it's an amazing, not that they need any ads, but follow it because it's an amazing podcast. But they had done an episode about a while ago about a TLC show called Sister Wives. Now, remember, we have done Seeking Sister Wives, but this is Sister Wives. This is one of the juggernauts. We have Darce and Stace, we have 1,000 Pound Sisters, we have My 600 Pound Life, and we have Sister Wives. We have Cody, with his long flowing hair and his affliction t-shirts. We have the wives that all hate him. It's unbelievable show. And that's another one that's been going on for about 15 years or something insane.
It's so wild.
It's something. So, Kate, when we get it ourselves on the Wheel of Shame, we're really going to have to, I don't know, we're going to have to give it like 2 weeks to study.
Probably. There's a lot.
Is a lot, but it is fantastic. Anyway, I just wanted to draw everyone's attention to that episode so you can go back and bitch sesh and take a listen to it, because Kate and I discovered it and it was just a hilarious take on a TLC show because they're geniuses. And you know, Kate and I made a lot of goals when we started this podcast. We were like, what do we want to do with this? I mean, it sounds like we just kind of put it all together last minute, as it's kind of accurate sometimes when we film, when we record. But we set some goals and we set some things we want to achieve with this. And one of them, I said to Kate, we will have made it when we have been mentioned on Bitch Sesh.
Hell right? Yeah.
I think the second we have Casey Rose Wilson, Danielle Schneider, June Diane. I've got to mention June Diane Raphael. She was on this episode as well because she's a massive Sister Wives fan. So who knows, Kate? Let's put it into the universe. Let's manifest that when the Wheel of Shame gives us Sister Wives, we can get June Diane Raphael to comment on it.
Like Darcy and Stacey say, manifest it.
Yeah. And look at their lives. They're living it.
And look at their lives.
So anyway, we just had to talk about that. And then...
Yeah, super funny episode. I liked
it. It was amazing.
I'm not even all caught up on Sister Wives, and I enjoyed listening to them talk just because they're all such funny friends. And Elizabeth Lame is on it too.
Yes.
Another comedian. And she's had a podcast she's been in the podcast game for so long. And I remember I used to listen to her... her old podcast, so it was fun to hear all of them chat.
She really was like the OG. Okay, so I think this is probably a good time for a little bit of a break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to chat a little bit more about some more TLC stuff. We still have to do the Wheel of Shame. We will be right back. Oh, hello, it's Pauline again, and I am slotting in here between two very important points being made to hawk some of my merch. Hooray! Okay, this will only take a minute. You are obviously a fan of the absurd if you're listening to this, so I'm sure you have a small place in your heart for the gloriously absurd Real Housewives franchise on Bravo. I've created a line of the snarkiest notebooks you will find based on the Real Housewives of New York. They are available on Etsy. Link to my store is in the show notes. Okay, I finished hawking. Back to the show.
All right, and we're back. And we decided to chat about this article, this really kind of interesting article that Pauline sent me. Mm-hmm. And it is on this website called thelist.com. Unclear on that website, but a pretty cool article that we found called What It's Really Like to Be on a TLC Show.
There we go. I mean, I just, first of all, you know, this is rare that I actually did any research. And it really was just one Google click. I found it, sent it to Kate, and I was like, see what you can do with this. Like, see if there's anything of interest in this. So once again, Kate's doing the legwork. She's actually reading articles and watching shows. I skim it all. But as Kate said, yeah, I don't know if this is a Screen Rant level website or if we're at the Daily Mail level. I don't know, Kate. Unclear.
You're gonna get a lot of ads as you're reading. It's kind of one of those where you have to really fight the ads that are popping up. You have to really want to read about it to get to the end. So I wrote down a few thoughts from this article.
Okay.
I learned a new word. So there's a word for when producers use your audio out of context. So this is one of the points they're making, is that you will get edited into saying something you didn't really say or as a villain on the show because they own all your audio. So even if you are not being filmed and your mic is still on, hot mic moment, they can take that audio and then they'll usually play it when your face isn't showing, so the lips don't have to match up or something like that. Or they mentioned there was this dating show that a former producer worked on, And they, this girl, it was like a bachelor style show. Mm. And she hated this one guy, but for the storyline purpose, they really wanted her to pick him, but she couldn't stand the guy. And so they were interviewing her and asking her, who is your, like, who do you love? Mm-hmm. And she, just to piss him off, was like, Adam Sandler. And they edited the guy's name into that moment, so it looks like she says his name. And that is called Frankenbiting. That's what the phrase is in the biz.
I've just learned more than I learned on 10 seasons of the little Seven Little Johnsons. It's called Frankenbiting. Never heard of it.
It's
amazing. It's a thing. Okay.
And that's the phrase. And there was actually, I read about a lawsuit, because I was reading this and then I started clicking on the links in the article. Good. And pretty soon I was down a rabbit hole, K-hole, whatever you want to call it. So there was actually a lawsuit that the, what's it called? The Screenwriters Guild.
Okay. Yeah.
There were these folks working in reality TV who wanted to be given the benefits of a writer in the Screenwriters Guild.
Interesting.
Because they were considering themselves as writing the arc of the show, basically.
Wow.
And so they sued because they thought that they weren't getting all the benefits, you know, overtime and all that stuff. So that was like in 2005. So I don't
know. Wow, that's really going... I mean, that makes so much sense, though, because this article that I skim read did say about, you know, and which we know as viewers, we know that obviously all these scenes are set up. They have call sheets. That's telling you kind of what time you need to be there. I don't think there's anything for budget of hair and makeup, so cross that out. But, you know, it's what time you need the film crew turn up and what you're doing that day. So it might be like, you know, you're going shopping and we're going to film you going through dresses and talking about how nervous you are to go on a date with someone or whatever. But they don't give you, like, that is all set up, you're right, and it's all structured. They're not necessarily going to, they obviously don't give you a script to follow.
Right.
But they do set it all up and they do throw in lines and they... I mean, it's an interesting lawsuit. It really is. It's an interesting point because they are writing it. They're writing a structure of a show. I mean, you could even argue that it's kind of like an improv. You know, a lot of a TV show that's improv, right? Like, look. I'm not comparing a TLC show to Curb Your Enthusiasm by genius legend Larry David. But what Larry David does is he writes an outline for the episode. And then the actors come in. And then they kind of fill in the scene, or an outline for the scenes. They come in and it's all improv. So you could argue that's exactly what these TLC people are doing, right?
It kind of is.
Right?
It so is, because they're giving them a prompt, like you would at an improv show. They're like, talk about your relationship. Talk about him cheating on you.
Yep.
And
so, I don't know. Interesting. I think it's a fair point.
Yeah.
What else did you learn, Kate?
Your only privacy is in the bathroom. I learned that. So there was this star from Return to Amish, Kate Stoltz, and
I've watched that.
I
have watched that.
A lot of these things they were saying in the article, it would say in a since deleted tweet.
Yes, of course,
because TLC was like, take that shit down. And so she tweeted that they would hold them in a room for a really long time, for hours, and keep asking them the same question over and over until
that's a police interrogation tactic.
Yeah. Yeah, until they got the reaction they wanted, until they would start crying or they would, like, say what they wanted them to say.
But that's because I am, listeners may not know, I have no qualifications, but I do consider myself a detective, lawyer, doctor, sometimes surgeon. And I do know when it comes to interrogations, that is a tactic that you see all the time. If you watch any kind of true crime stuff, the detective will go, so where were you from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.? Just walk me through that. And they'll do that and they'll go, okay. So tell me again, you went from that store and you went to where next? And they'll just go over and over and over.
To trip you up. Yeah.
Jeez. Now that's darkness.
Because there's a video in a promo for the show where she's crying. And so she's saying, I wasn't actually crying about that, but they held us in this room for hours until I started crying. And then they filmed it and they put that on the promo. I was like, oh my God.
Kate, that return to Amish, and it would be very, very, very odd if that came up in the Wheel of Shame in a minute. But that is lengthy, and that one was one of the TLC shows that was exposed the most about just fake storylines. Some of them were had left the Amish community years before, and then some had already actually, there was a couple that were married on it, but had actually been married for like 4 years and had a baby. It was terrible, that show. It all got exposed.
That was another thing on it, because what is that TLC show? It's like My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding.
Oh, I've watched all that. Oh God, I should stop admitting all this. Yeah, I've watched all that. Yeah, that was an old one.
Someone on there, in a probably since deleted tweet, was saying that there are so many things in the show that their community doesn't actually do, but they, mm-hmm. like, there's no... I think on the show they do like a gypsy ball, annual ball. Okay. And they were like, that's not actually a thing. So, you know, that
they do use bleach on their teeth in that to whiten their teeth. Actual bleach. Oh. They put bleach on their toothbrush, and then they also put motor oil on their skin to suntan. That's two highlights of the Gypsy Sisters once we get to them.
Okay, stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned.
And then the only other big note I had, because one of the points in this article was that, you know, if there's any skeletons in your closet, mm-hmm. they're gonna find it. Mm-hmm. And so I started to wonder, how much do producers on TLC and Bravo, how much do they know? How much do you think they know these horrible, terrible things that later come out, and they then have to fire those people, but they already knew that. They just didn't say anything.
Okay. So this is interesting you talk about this, because I have an inside scoop, and it's really interesting. And I've actually not told you this, Kate. I've been meaning to, but listeners, honestly, I haven't told Kate this. I have someone close to me that recently told me, their new position is working at a very, very large studio that they deal with HR, and they deal with the background of people, certain people that are going on reality shows. So this person informed me that the backgrounds they have to do now is intense because of stuff like Erica Jane, stuff like Jen Shah, stuff like the guy from 90 Day Fiance who was waiting trial for kidnapping. Like the Amish guys, half of them had been arrested for abusing their spouse and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this person gave me fantastic insight. This is very new, though, that they are now doing background checks like this. Now, I can't answer whether they get the background checks and go, this person's so good for reality TV, let's just make sure we keep this hidden, which I would personally believe they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. But yeah, I meant to tell you that. So that is a real agents in the field kind of info. Yeah. She says that they go through everything. Everything. Your schooling, your where you grew up, everything.
All your social media pages.
Oh, that was a huge thing. She said, and it's so time consuming. You have to go through all their social media.
I mean, people have had Facebook since 2006, 2007. Can you imagine going through?
That's just one person's job to literally do that. I know. So anyway, that was very interesting, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if they're good enough TV, of course they're going to keep them on, right?
Because that's all private information, so they can
you
know, the extent that they knew.
Yeah.
So they can just be like, oh, well, we didn't see that racist tweet from 2005.
We didn't know. Yeah, exactly.
You're fired.
Yeah,
I'm mad.
You.
Yeah.
So Yeah, so that was the article. Anything else that you got from that article? By the way, the article was called Let's give credit to the journalist. Yes. What It's Really Like to Be on a TLC Show by Becky Ledford for thelist.com. Whether it's a real website, unclear. But we did find out.
So, I mean, I learned that I will absolutely never do a show because knowing myself, I would say stuff on the hot mic and then my life would be ruined.
Disaster. Yeah. Instead, we chose to do a podcast that we can edit heavily.
Yes.
So, all right. I think it's time, guys, that we went to the Wheel of Shame. So I'm just going to throw this out here. We've discussed this week when we get to Sister Wives and Gypsy Sisters. Is that what we discussed? Yeah. If either of those come up on the Wheel of Shame, that's a bit odd. All right. Are you ready for this, Kate? Are you ready to get our two? And by the way, we're going to do our due diligence. Kate, if you don't mind, I'm going to spin the wheel. Can you just make sure that we can find these on somewhere?
Yes, I will quickly Google. I'm on it.
Please, because we have to. All right, I'm going to get ready. So spin that wheel. All right, give us a good one. We deserve a fresh one. Fresh, fresh, fresh.
Not a boring family.
Yeah, not a boring family. Okay. Okay. First one up, guys, for next week is it's pretty okay. When skin goes wrong.
Okay.
I'm kind of okay with this because the title is so ridiculous. When skin goes wrong. That's our first one.
I know we've had one season.
Oh, there is. Oh, thank God. Okay, but we can definitely watch it, right?
I think so. Came out 2020.
Oh, okay.
We can watch it.
Okay, great. As long as it's different to save, I hope it's different to Save My Skin. Yeah.
Oh, it's also in London. Okay.
Is this going to be like basically the exact same thing of Save My Skin?
We'll find out.
We'll find out. When skin goes wrong. I hope there's some narrator that is like that in it. All right, let's get our second one. So it's only one season, so that's good. So, right, spin the wheel. Let's see what we get for our second one. Come on. Oh my God, it's so exciting when we do this.
I know, I love it.
This is interesting. Very famous one we've got here, Kate.
Oh.
But I think there's tons of seasons. Second show for next week is I Am Jazz. And I know this one. Do you know it?
No. I've seen the cover, but I have no idea what it's about.
Okay. Can you tell me how many seasons there are so I might have to start watching it like right now? Because I think there's tons.
Seven. And that's on the app. I've seen it on there.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got I Am Jazz, and then we have When Skin Goes Wrong. Okay. All right, perfect. So we've got our two for next week, guys. So that means that you have to watch this along with us. You've got a week to watch it all. Make your notes. You know, make sure you know the cast of characters that we will be discussing. What have we got left here? We've just got our plugs.
Our pluggy plug plugs.
Pluggy plug plugs. Guys, we need some love from you always. And we especially need it, please, on our Instagram and TikTok. You can find us at Tender Loving Care Pod. Have a check out what we're doing there. We have a lot of kind of exclusive content. That sounds so much fancier than it is. We have some really good memes. We have some really good memes on Instagram. So go over to Tender Loving Care Pod on TikTok and Instagram. And then on Twitter, a lot of snarky comments. Twitter's just snark, snark, snark. And it's TLC Poddy. Obviously, we've already discussed with you guys, agents in the field, anyone of you that has worked background and something to do in production or whatever with any TLC show, if you know anyone, if you have any insider scoop, email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. That's tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. Kate, we need to talk about Mostly Bravo.
Yes, I have another podcast where I discuss, along with my friend Bryce, all of the, well, not all, but some of the currently airing shows on Bravo. So it's week by week, recaps, opinions, things like that. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Mostly Bravo and find us wherever you find podcasts. Check it out.
You must. And also all of this stuff that we talk about is all in the show notes as well. So feel free to just scroll down and have a look at all the links in the show notes. Last plug and self-promotion, and I'm sure, sick of it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I am obsessed with The Housewives, as everybody knows, both Kate and I are. I created a line of merchandise. It includes t-shirts and notebooks that have a lot of nods to infamous scenes from our fantastically chaotic, beautiful women of the Real Housewives. So please go and check that out. You can find me. Easiest way is Instagram at A Brit in the Sun, A-B-R-I-T in the Sun, because I'm English and I live in LA. All right, I think that's kind of everything, Kate. We have our two shows for next week. We know what we're going to do. Can you believe this is the end of episode 8?
No, look at us go. I think the only thing I've left to say is if you're the Kentucky sommelier, email us.
Every single week. I look for you. I long for you. I need to find you.
We need to contact the Kentucky sommelier from Thousand Pound Sisters. Okay.
Thousand Pound Sisters. Shout out to episode 3. All right, guys. Have a fantastic week. Watch all these shit shows with us so we can discuss them next week. And have a good one. Bye, Kate.
Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.